If you'd like to turn to your Bibles, Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 57 to 80.
His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you'll go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. Let us pray. A prayer from the Common Prayer Book. Blessed Lord, who has caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. I expect you noticed something. When I did that reading, I thought, gosh, I got through it quick. I missed the first verses. I think that's right. Now, the birth of John the Baptist, 57 to 66. And that's what I want to start off. I want to do the message in three parts. The birth of John the Baptist, and then I want to go on to Zechariah's song, Luke 1, 67 to 75, and the final verses, praise for a precious child, Luke 1, 76 to 80, to finish off with. And so this is the birth of John the Baptist, 57, Luke 1, 57 to 66. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. Just as a little bit of a introduction, because Zechariah's song later on, 67 to 80, and you know what it is, what this prayer is called, don't you? Do you know what it's called? Shall I tell you? The Benedictus. In the Book of Common Prayer, it's a canticle, and in the Church of England, used the morning prayer, and it begins, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, praising God for redeeming his people and sending a Saviour." And the key aspects of the Benedictus is the words of Zechariah at the birth of his son John the Baptist, which we're going to look at later. A prophecy of salvation, mercy, and the coming of the Messiah. And this benediction, this prayer, is a regular part of morning prayer at matins, often sung, sometimes chanted. In essence, the Benedictus is a joyful scriptural song woven into daily worship, marking the fulfillment of God's promises through Christ. And so we're going to look at the birth of John the Baptist. Zechariah was almost through offering the incense, which we read at the beginning of Luke, when his whole world collapsed around him. Like most people, if not all people, Zechariah never expected to see an angel. He had probably never seen one before. In the blink of an eye, he was face to face with a heavenly being by having an encounter with God. Zechariah experienced the miraculous nature of God. And you know what the angel's first words were to Zechariah? What were they? "Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid." It was not the words the angel spoke which calmed Zechariah, but rather it was the sound of the voice, God's voice, comforts. And the message the angel brought echoed that of the angels who told Abraham the same thing. His wife, who was advanced in years, would have a child. Neither Sarah or Elizabeth, Sarah in the Old Testament Genesis, had any business being pregnant, but God's ways are not the ways of humans. That Elizabeth would have a baby was the last thing that Zechariah ever imagined. The baby would be special. He was to be named John, and he would be great in the eyes of God. he would be filled with the Holy Spirit and lead the people to God. This was too good to be true. And Zechariah did not believe the angel. And what happened to Zechariah because he didn't believe the angel? What happened to him? Sorry? He was like appeared dumb. The angel muted Zechariah until the birth and presentation of the child. And 8 days after the child was brought to be circumcised, 8 days after the child was born, the child was brought to be circumcised. And guess who named the child? Who named the child? Well, it was Elizabeth, not Zachariah, who actually named the child. But well done anyway. When she did, and guess what happened to Zechariah? What happened when she did name the child? His voice came back. Well done. Zechariah's ultimate experience of God was not his priestly duties over his long life, and it was not in his reading of the scriptures. It was not even in the presence of an angel of the Lord. Rather, his experience of God, which changed his life, was when he looked in the eyes of his child, a gift from God. God had given him a gift. God had given him a son to be named John, who we know as John the Baptist. It's an amazing thing, a miracle. And I just want to be very sensitive speaking here, you know, for those couples who are unable to have children. I used to visit a friend of mine, George Bugler, and his wife Anne, and they could have no children and they were advanced in years. But I know how they would have longed to have a son or a daughter to children. But and so it was really amazing. And now I'd like us to move on to a father's song, Luke chapter 1, 67 to 75. Zechariah's joy could not be repressed. You know, during those months of silence, he had opportunity to reflect on both Gabriel's words to him and on the Old Testament scriptures he had lived for so long. He didn't have the New Testament like we have today. He had the Old Testament. Now, he was filled, John the Baptist, the father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he burst out in this song that was full of praise to God for his faithfulness in keeping his promise to Israel. Praise be the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. His hymn focused not on his newborn son, John the Baptist, but on the one John would be introducing to the world, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Zechariah's reference to Israel's horn of salvation, verse 69, was significant. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. His glory is like a firstborn bull, and his horns like the horns of the wild ox. Deuteronomy 33, verse 17. And I've worked on the farm with cattle and the horns of an animal, such as an ox, were symbolic of his strength. And you know what was a horn filled with in the Old Testament? What was a horn filled with? Did you say wine? Could be, but I'm looking for something else. Oil, well done, yeah. A horn was filled with oil. And why was it filled with oil? To anoint. And who to anoint in particular? Kings. Well done. And I think of Samuel. Now the Lord, in the Old Testament, now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And we read that in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. And Samuel takes the horn of oil and anoints him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord comes upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. And so 1 Samuel 16:13, Zechariah was picturing the power of the Messiah, the horn of salvation, who was coming to bring salvation and to fulfill God's promises that the Messiah would save them from their enemies. Salvation, verse 71, from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Can you remember 2023, the coronation of King Charles III? Can you remember that? I bet a lot of you were watching it on television, weren't you? And I can remember in particular, you invited me, you had a celebration here, didn't you? And some lovely cakes on the Monday. I think I'll never forget it. I had a real sort of feast of cakes. You know, it kept me going all day. It was really lovely. But what was significant in that service in Westminster Abbey, when King Charles was crowned, he was anointed with oil. We didn't see this because there was a screen up and he was behind the screen, and you know, people were helping him to take off some of his robes and things, so he was really anointed with oil, and it's a very, very important part. And he made vows and promises to be king in front of the nation, and swore on the Bible, made promises. The second part, as we look at this, praise for a precious child. Luke 1:76-80. In Zechariah also sang of the mission his son would fulfill. And it's really amazing. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Think of John the Baptist, this prophet of God. Repent. Preaching a gospel of repentance. A gospel of forgiveness later on. Think of John the Baptist baptizing in the River Jordan. John would become a prophet of God to prepare the way for the Messiah. Through his preaching, many people would turn to God for forgiveness, and would be prepared to welcome the Messiah, who would come as the dayspring from on high. Centuries before, Balaam had prophesied to the Messiah, saying, a star would come. This is what we read in Numbers 24:17. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult. Numbers 24:17. And praising God for this child, Malachi, I don't know if you ever preach on Malachi here, I expect you do sometimes, do you? Do you? A lot of us don't, but well done if you do. But Malachi, in the last Old Testament book, prophesied that the Messiah would come as the Son of Righteousness, Son of Righteousness. And we see this here, verse 78, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come up from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Malachi 4:2 says, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like the salt-fed calves. Those living in the darkness of sin and death, and this is morning what we were saying, with so many terrible things happening in the world, but Jesus is the light of the world. We are the people of light. There's a celebration today of God's people. Those living in the darkness of sin and death would welcome John's message that the Messiah was coming to bring light and life. And just think what this child, John the Baptist, as he grew up under the watchful eyes of Elizabeth and Zechariah. You know, they were elderly, they were getting on in years, they were senior citizens. And Gabriel, Luke chapter 1, verse 17, had announced that John would work in the spirit and power of Elijah. Luke 1:16, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. It was fitting that when John grew up and was preparing himself for his work, he lived briefly in the wilderness, John the Baptist, in the wilderness, as the prophet Elijah had done so long before, in the silence of those lonely surroundings. John discovered the message he was to bring, a message Israel had not heard for many generations. And this is the quote by Stephen Fortas. We worship the same God Zechariah and Elizabeth worshipped. Yet sometimes we actually imply to God, either directly or indirectly, that we don't believe he can act in a supernatural ways. We should never underestimate God's ability to do anything he wills. His grace and power have no limits. There might be somebody here this morning who does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. And after a message, I always like to say this prayer. I'm going to say it. And if that is anybody here, just pray this prayer quietly in your heart. And I'll finish with an amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm truly sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong, that you died on the cross and rose from the dead for me, so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Holy Spirit. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.